I would like then to move to our next item, and I will ask Mr. Robertson to introduce the next item, please.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. So item six is the process and timing of efforts to replace or renew the agricultural regulatory order. This item is a discussion about the process of replacing the current ag order, which expires in March 2017. The intent of this item is to provide transparency as to the process, timing, and reasons for replacing the current ag order. We last discussed the timing of replacing the ag order in January 2015, essentially 18 months ago. This is informational only, but staff is looking for board input and concurrence with our recommended course of action. This item is not intended to, nor would it be appropriate to, debate or discuss the specific content of the next or subsequent ag orders. Chris Rose of our staff will provide a brief presentation to start the discussion, and then Harvey Packard, myself, and Jessica Yar will join that discussion.
Good morning, Chair Wolf and members of the board. Can you hear me okay? All right, very good. My name is Chris Rose. I'm the Irrigated Lands Program Manager here at the Water Board. And thank you, John, for that introduction. The lifespan of waivers, conditional waivers have a maximum lifespan of 5 years. And in March 2012, this board approved the current agricultural order, which is a waiver. And of course, it was adopted at that March 2012 board meeting. Consequently, the current ag order that we're implementing will expire on March 14th, 2017. The nomenclature for discussion, we're calling the 2004 ag order that was adopted ag order version 1.0, and the one that we are currently implementing that was adopted in 2012, version 2.0. The one that we need to adopt, or that is expiring, then we will renew in 2017, we're going to call that version 3.0. And then the one that will follow after that and some point in time will be version 4.0. So here is a proposal for a summary of the proposal that we're proposing today for replacing the current ag order or version 2.0. We intend to bring that before the board at the March 2017 meeting. And the components of that order, or version 3.0, will be necessary date changes from the current order, but the requirements will be largely unchanged from the current 2.0 version. It will have a limited lifespan, or we anticipate that it will have a limited lifespan, but we would like to incorporate the language in the order that it has a 5-year lifespan, with the caveat that we intend to replace that with 4.0 as soon as possible, as soon as we can write it. The MRPs, the monitoring reporting programs. For surface water monitoring, we intend to have 2017 monitoring for surface water. I'll go into a little bit more detail with that in a upcoming slide. And then for 2018, no groundwater monitoring. However, we anticipate of having groundwater monitoring changes and surface water monitoring changes, which would be implemented in 2018. So we would expect that in 2018 that we would have groundwater monitoring as well as surface water monitoring. And of course, as we're implementing version 3.0, we will be developing 4.0. I'd like to talk for a moment about pending proceedings that are still yet unresolved. The Monterey Coastkeeper versus the State Water Board. This is a case that was a petition against the State Board's order, which was a response to a petition against the 2012 Ag Order. The status of that particular case is in appeal, and we expect that will not be resolved for another 12 to 18 months. And then the East San Joaquin Watershed Agricultural Order, that is a Central Valley order, and that is also in petition. And we expect the resolution of that sometime in early 2017. And in this order, the draft order was published or was posted by the State Water Board in February. And what they attempted to do is they attempted to answer some of the recommendations of the expert panel, as well as try to anticipate what some of the outcomes might be of the Monterey Coastkeeper case. And we also have a Triangle Rava Ranches versus Central Coast Water Board. The status on this, it's also pending, and this is a case involving trade secret questions revolving around total nitrogen applied reporting. And then we also have Zamora Environmental Law Foundation, or ELF, versus the Central Coast Water Board that is also pending Superior Court ruling, and we expect that within a few months as well. And this is pertaining to public access to information that is held by a third party, particularly notifications for drinking water notifications. So these are pending proceedings that we strongly believe, that will have an impact on the order requirements that we ultimately will have in Region 3 long term. And particularly version 4.0. Outreach and timing. As we develop agricultural orders, it's become increasingly clear that we need to have outreach efforts, and we need to engage stakeholders on many levels. Of course, we need to do that between now and the time that we present an order for the board in March 2017. We also have to draft an order as a response to those outreach efforts, and as well as a response to some of the implementation of our current order and lessons learned from that. In order to get you an order for approval in March 2017, we have to have a public draft by November 2016. So the issue that I'm trying to raise here is that there is an issue of time availability between now and November. Moving forward, again, 3.0 at the March 2017 board meeting. Requirements will largely be unchanged from version 2.0. We'll have a 5-year lifespan, but again, we intend to replace that as soon as 4.0 is ready with regular updates to the board. The 3.0 MRPs, 2017 surface water monitoring, and we'll be drawing from the current requirements, which would include pesticides and toxicity monitoring. You might recall that the current MRPs has monitoring for pesticides and toxicity not every year, but intermittently. And so what we would propose is that the pesticides and toxicity monitoring would be done in 2017. Again, groundwater, none in 2017, no monitoring in 2017, but we would anticipate that we would have monitoring in 2018. And that would be a result of development of a revised third-party approval process and expectations work plan and MRPs that we will be developing in 2017. So as we're implementing version 3.0, our intent is to have revised MRPs, a revised third-party approval process, along with expectations that, of course, the board would be updated about. And we anticipate that would be ready in 2018, ready for implementation in 2018. And of course, while we're doing that, we're gonna have to accelerate 4.0 development. So the timeline to getting this all done. In August, which is, I guess, beginning next week, my intent would be to meet with technical assistance providers or technical service providers and other interested parties, environmental groups, environmental justice groups, our sister agencies in the state, growers. And August and September have two public workshops, one in the north, one in the south, where everybody would be invited. We would have a September board meeting, and at that point, I would update the board of the progress that we're making with those workshops, and also a more refined plan of how we want to move forward with a third party and the monitoring and reporting. And then in September, October, staff needs to develop draft 3.0. My goal is to have a version on the street by the 1st of November. That would give the public a 60-day comment period, which I think, frankly, we've learned that a longer comment period on these orders is wise. in late November, I would have another workshop after that version was on the street and posted to answer any lingering questions that growers and other interested parties might have. Following that workshop, we would have an 8th of December board meeting, and I could update the board about our progress, and I could also answer questions about the draft that would now be posted. With the first week of January, then public comments would be due. We essentially have a month to review all the comments, to make any last changes in the draft order, and then get it and post it so that we could have a March 17th board meeting. So the summary and recommendation, again, our current order expires on March 2017. It will expire. We have presidential legal proceedings that are yet unresolved that we think will have a significant impact on our agricultural orders as we move forward in the future, not only with 3.0, but probably even more largely with 4.0. A new order must be written and posted for public comment in early November in order for us to get a draft that we are considering for the March 2017 board meeting. So a draft ag order 3.0, largely unchanged from 2.0, with those changes to the MRPs that I referred to earlier, a five-year term with the anticipation that it wouldn't take that long, developing 4.0 as soon as possible. Thank you.
So we do have a series of speaker cards, and I would suggest that we entertain having, you know, the speak various individuals, you know, give their presentation, and then after that, you know, a board can have a discussion. We're comfortable with that process. So I would like to start with Mr. Shimek. And Mr. Shimek had requested 6 minutes, and I appreciate the fact that you gave us a heads up on that in a timely fashion, and including additional information you wanted to share with us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Steve Shimek. I'm Executive Director of the Otter Project and Monterey Coast Keeper. Thank you for your service. I truly appreciate it. Let me briefly recap some history, and some of you have been here longer than others. In 2004, this region passed the first order for agricultural discharges in the state of California. You were the first. The order was to expire in 2009. In 2008, this board appointed, actually the board staff, Roger Briggs, appointed a 20-member agricultural panel to craft a new order. I was on that panel. We failed. It's very important that you recall that within a few months after our failure, staff came up with a new draft in February 2010, within a few months. That draft order required monitoring, nutrient balancing, considers a broad list of pesticides that can cause toxicity, and asked the same of everyone. That order was staff's best shot at crafting an order that curbed agricultural pollution and was legal. Then politics got involved. The governor failed to appoint new board members. Western Growers sponsored a bill to abolish the Central Coast Board. And for 2 years, you cut and slashed the good staff draft. For years, you listened as various stakeholders, generally led by Western Growers, Grower Shipper, and Farm Bureau, offered a far weaker plan called the Ag Alternative. My organization was often chastised as being unrealistic and radical. The order you passed in 2012 was a fatally weakened compromise order. Agriculture filed 4 petitions, environmental organizations filed 1. The state further weakened the order. A coalition of environmental groups sued, claiming that the order passed by the board was so incredibly weak, it was illegal. We prevailed. But Judge Frawley didn't just say, "You won." He wrote a 44-page roadmap of what needs to be included in the next order. And guess what? He points to this towards the staff's 2010 draft order. For the past 18 months since the ruling, I have repeatedly stood before you, reminding you that the judge has ruled, shown you the way, and the ag order expires soon. Two regions have crafted orders. East San Joaquin is still in draft, was actually crafted by the state, and Los Angeles, and those two orders explicitly acknowledge and gave deference to Judge Frawley's decision. I hope you can appreciate the position you are now in. Two other regions have given deference to Judge Frawley's decision. And now this region, the subject of that decision, is saying, let's renew an illegal order for 5 years. You are hearing that time is too short to pass something, that time is too short to pass something new. To pass something in March, you need a draft by November. Time is not too short. You have the staff's 2010 draft. You have the most creative and experienced staff in the state of California when it comes to regulating agriculture, and you have a new, younger than me, homegrown executive director anxious to do what's best for water quality. You have two regions that have drafted orders that begin to comply with Judge Frawley's decision. You have experience, you have data, you have Judge Frawley's order. You don't lack time. You have months, talent, experience, data, a draft, examples from other regions, a roadmap, and a judge's order. Dust off the 2010 draft, edit it with the experiences that you've had over the next past six years, and let's pass it. I've met with staff. I urged them to craft a new order, something that would actually regulate agricultural discharges and improve water quality. Do you know what they told me? Among other things, they said that if they crafted something new, they fear you wouldn't pass it. What's that say? There can be many different interpretations, I get that. But the way I read that is that it either says that they don't feel you have their back, or it says that they don't know what you'll do, they don't have a clue what you'll do. Urge the staff to be creative and bold. Urge the staff to protect water quality. Urge the staff to protect human health. Urge the staff to protect the environment. Urge the staff ahead, don't hold them back. They can get this done in 3 months by November and have you a draft. I believe that. They have talent. They have great leadership. And when you receive a new bold order in November, don't rip it up. Pass it in March. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Shimmick. Our next speaker card is Ms. Claire Weinman, 3 minutes.
Good morning, my name is Claire Weinman and I'm the president of the Grower Shipper Association of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. Today I would like to express general support for the approach outlined in the staff recommendation. We will certainly review the details of the new order closely and will be actively engaged throughout the adoption process. We agree with the need to evaluate actions that are currently pending and to incorporate lessons learned prior to making fundamental departures from the current order. We appreciate the dialogue that has been cultivated in the past few years. We believe that this is the best path to continue to lead us towards our mutual goal of understanding and improving water quality while maintaining agricultural feasibility on the Central Coast. We ask that you provide direction to move forward with the staff recommendations for the March 2017 deadline. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker card is Mr. Perry Clausen. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Wolf, members of the board. My name is Perry Clausen. I'm the executive director of the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition. And I too want to put our organization's support behind the staff recommendation 3.0. I think that's a good nomenclature to refer to. I think this is a responsible approach for a very important regulation. Keep in mind, I want to remind you that we, this order, and currently have in place still the annual compliance form. Growers are still completing those nitrogen fertilizer reporting in these high-risk areas. The groundwater program continues to contact our members who have provided replacement water for any domestic wells that are above the drinking water standard. We check in once a year on whether or not they're continued that and have been assured that they are. We are also resampling every 6 months the wells within 80% of the groundwater standard or nitrate groundwater standard. So we're continuing to track wells that are close to the exceedance level. The other thing is that these follow-up sampling events that we go out and do twice a year, if a grower has a new ranch who has not had their well sampled, and we are finding that occasionally, we're going out and sampling those wells. So there in fact is some sampling going on. The other thing I want to remind you is don't underestimate what is going to happen with the State Water Board and the East San Joaquin order. I found out yesterday that they have at least two more months that they're going to be reviewing all the public comments that are coming in. And then my understanding is that there is going to be a couple more public workshops to get more clarification. And as you all know, they've stated that this is going to be a precedential order, and in trying to question board members, state board members, on what those precedents are, they don't in fact know yet what those are going to be. And I suspect the outcome of the public comment, they will determine these are things that the state, all the state ag orders, will need to implement in those orders. So we're not even going to really know that until November and December. And then once that goes towards a public hearing process, it could be January, February, March, anybody's guess when that actual order will be adopted. And then that would come back to you all, the U.S. Central Coast order or board, to determine. So I guess in summary, there's books that are written in a month. I used to be a writer. I could write a book and I'd have one editor. This next order is going to have many writers, many editors, public comment process. There's got to be a lot that's going to go into this order. I think that's important. Agriculture is a very important industry. We're moving in the right direction, I think, in the order in 3.0 that we have now. It's not like we're going backwards. So I think it's very important to just take your time and don't feel rushed by the need to get something done in a short period of time. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker card is Ben Peiterly, if I pronounce correctly, more or less.
More or less, it's Ben Peiterly. Good morning.
Thank you.
I'm the Watershed and Marine Program Director with Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. And we're disappointed with the direction, that the region is choosing to take today. And I'd like to largely echo comments made already by Mr. Schimek. There's nothing to stop this region from starting today to develop an order that's more protective and that better aligns with the court's ruling and state policy. And the State Water Board, as you know, continues to fight to be able to set the bar as low as possible. And so far, it's losing that argument in court, and yet it seems that this region continues to follow its lead. And in the meantime, it's particularly frustrating because in the meantime, what we see is other regions have already, as Mr. Schimek noted, moved beyond this region to develop programs that go much further in complying with the court's ruling explicitly as well as and state law. And it's just with that perspective that I come before you today as somebody who Personally participated heavily in the development of the Los Angeles region program, having extensive meetings with LA region staff, as well as farming representatives from Ventura County, LA County, Ventura County, which is a county that's dominated by irrigated agriculture. It wasn't a program that was taken lightly by the region as they were developing it. I believe that the entire process took somewhere around 6 months to develop that order, and the outcome of that process went much further in terms of complying with the court ruling, state policy. The LA order now includes mechanisms and firm timelines for individual monitoring for growers in nearly every 303D listed water body, as well as timelines for compliance that include eventual establishment of actual enforceable effluent limits. And I'd note that the final order was publicly lauded by both environmental groups as well as Ventura County farming representatives as an outcome that was both fair, balanced, as well as appropriate given water quality concerns that exist there. So developing such an order is possible, and prolonging a program that's been deemed legally inadequate is not appropriate. So we urge you to take action now to advance this region's program to better align with the court ruling, state policy, and the direction that now other regions have already begun taking. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker request is Ms. Abby Taylor Silva.
Good morning. My name is Abby Taylor Silva. I'm the Vice President of the Grower Shipper Association of Central California. And we've spent some time, we've met with staff to understand their reasoning for bringing you an updated ag order for adoption in March of 2017. Our understanding is that this revised order will include updated timelines and minor language cleanups, as you heard today. Without having seen the final details and therefore reserving the opportunity to comment on those, we generally agree with the process outlined by staff. While we continue to remain concerned with some of the substantive details of the current order, including but not limited to the tier structure, some of the reporting requirements, and other elements that we've detailed to you in previous communications, we feel that it would not be prudent to try to incorporate the Sacramento Superior Court ruling, which is currently under appeal by our organization and the State Water Board, among others, or the draft East San Joaquin order in this iteration of the ag order. These and other pending proceedings should be allowed to play out before substantial changes are made to this order. It's also important to note, when you receive some feedback that the previous order was extended for multiple years, that you did not have a quorum with which to adopt a new order for a long while on this board. And that definitely contributed to those delays. So this is a situation you're no longer in, and it's not quite an apples to oranges comparison. While we can't agree to a new ag order that we haven't seen, and we've maintained concern with provisions of the current ag order that we do expect will be carried over, we do believe this process outlined by staff makes more sense than the alternative presented by the Otter Project, and we encourage you to accept the staff recommendation regarding the process moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker request is Mr. Kirk Smith.
Good morning, Dr. Wolf, members of the board, staff, Kirk Schmidt, Executive Director of Central Coast Water Quality Preservation. We do the service water quality monitoring on the Central Coast pursuant to the MRP. We have been doing this since January of 2005. We've never missed a month. The current proposal before you now has some significant ambiguities as to what will occur in 2017 with a change in the MRP. Today, there was a presentation saying that it would include toxicity, which we do annually. We do monthly sampling for toxicity four times a year, but it would also include pesticides, which is something that we've done during the last cycle, one time at each site. If we include toxicity and pesticide testing at all the sites in the Central Coast, that's 55 sites, it will increase the fees to, or the cost of the MRP by about 60%. However, the dilemma is not so much the increase of cost, it's our inability to actually budget for this, because until the MRP is adopted by the executive officer, there's nothing for us to send to our consultants to bid on. Until there's something that we get a quote, we can't go to the growers and set up a feasible assessment to the growers to pay for this. This program has been paid for exclusively by growers for the last 8 years. In the past, the executive officer has extended the MRP. In 2011, the executive officer, Roger Briggs, extended the MRP pursuant to Water Code Section 13.223, which allows the executive officer to make changes in programs with the exception of several enumerated items that have to be the purvey of the board. The MRP adopted in 2012 has language in it. There's three MRPs, they all have the same language, giving the executive officer the authority to modify the MRP. We're requesting that the executive officer modify the MRP so that effective in January 17, we're able to go forward with a project, and that we know what that is now so that we can start the project process of getting it bid and going to our members to figure out how to pay for it. If we don't have that done by the end of this summer, the MRP, so that we can do that legwork, we may gap in the beginning of the year and not have monitoring in the first part of 2017. More importantly, without an MRP, there is no parallel sampling analysis plan or quality assurance plan, and indeed, there wouldn't be any authority for us to even monitor in January, assuming we go forward on the basis of good intentions and a handshake. So without a written MRP for us now, we will gap for the first time in 12 years, and we would appreciate it if this could be worked out as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And our last speaker card is Darlene Din, please.
Good morning, board members, and thank you for allowing us the opportunity to discuss some of the aspects of the process. A couple points I think it would be really important to put in the process over the years that I've sat in the many public meetings and workshops would be to do either some form of overview white report on the statistical data of what has transpired. I think it's really important for the public, some that are re-entering, to maybe understand really all the work that has been done. And when we first started in 2003 with these workshops and with the Marine Sanctuary planning process and what had been done on the volunteer, we at least came in with a little bit of data on what people had done voluntarily. So it kind of helped the discussion, if you remember all that, for those that were there. And I think it's also important for the public to see that there has been a lot of statistical data and there has been a lot of work. And this is a really big ship to turn, and it's a large region. And I think that would be helpful in the process. The other aspect in the process is some form of process effectiveness. Here's what I mean by that. I think that there has been some work done, and there has been some analysis of certain areas that have shown trend differential. And I think it's really important to look at effectiveness of the data collection in areas that have preservation ink has shown certain areas that have changed through surface water. And as you've looked at the groundwater program, I think is an overall evaluation. And then how many different landowners have provided alternative drinking water. I just think some sort of evaluation of the effectiveness of the program would be helpful in the process. And the expert panel did put recommendations, and I think that that should be put into the process on how that's being evaluated with the other aspects that you're evaluating. And Sigma. Sigma, I think, will have an effect on some of this process, so I think that would be important to be evaluated in your process. And the very last point I wanted to make is just someone who writes a lot of comment letters to you. The first week in January to have comment letters reviewed, I'm chasing down growers all of December. And it's just, it would be lovely if you could go into the second week of January or on anything around a holiday. For those of us that are consultants, I'll do it, but it's chasing down members and those that are participating who are out on holiday. And even if I have to chase down the staff, and they deserve the time off and they're not always available for answering questions, and I don't ask that they be here on Christmas, but it would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. And it is about 20 to 10. And Mr. Johnston, would you think this is a good time perhaps to take a little break, and then this will give us the opportunity for discussions?
Sure, Mr. Robertson.
Pardon me?
Call me Mr. Johnson.
Are you
changing my name?
Well,
pay raise.
Well, you know, consider this an honor.
I think that would be excellent, the suggestion of a break. Also, I would like to come back and make some points too when we get back before we go into board questions and deliberations, if we can, just some clarifications and additions.
Okay. Thank you. So with both this clarification and also getting your name straight, I apologize for that. Let's meet again at 10 o'clock. Thank you.